You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome into Locked On Balls, your team every day. I'm your host, Eric Kane, and today we're going to recap everything that was Tennessee's 38-6 win over Bowling Green. This is a true post-game podcast, albeit a few hours after the game ended, but I mean, that game ended at about midnight on Thursday going into Friday morning, right? So this is a true post-game podcast. So in segment number one today, some opening remarks, some thoughts by myself. Then we're going to get into scoring plays. In segment number two, I'm going to talk about Joe Milton. I'm going to talk about the run game. I'm going to talk about the offensive line shuffle and that defense that stood out in the Bowling Green victory. And in segment three, we're going to hear from Josh Heupel on a number of topics. All that and more here on a Friday show. But before we get into all that, guys, I want to remind you about the Ultimate Season Preview for the NFL. That's Locked On's Ultimate Season Preview. It takes you through every single team, every single division with help from Odyssey's Ross Tucker and Jason Lockenfora. You can follow the Ultimate Season Preview 2021 feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. It began on August the 30th, so it's clearly ongoing right now. When we get done with Locked On Vols, go ahead and check it out if you so choose. So today, again, Tennessee 38-6 win over Bowling Green to kick off the Josh Heupel era. I know I've already heard from a lot of you. I'm on Twitter. Part of my job with VolQuest is to be on the message boards during live threads. I understand kind of where the mindset is right now for the majority of the fan base, and it is, okay, yeah, you beat a crappy team. Okay, sure. But the quarterback play looks a lot like what we've already had here at Tennessee the last 4 years and being Jared Garantano. What about this Joe Milton guy? Thought he was supposed to be a Heisman guy. Thought he was supposed to have an explosive arm. Thought he was supposed to be Cam Newton. I have some thoughts on all that. We'll get into that more in segment number two. But, you know, really, what did you think about the game? I mean, it was a victory. I know I was really, really putting down Bowling Green on Locked On Vols on a Thursday show and really on the GameQuest podcast with VolQuest on Thursday morning. I understand that. I mean, I went over the 2020 stats for Bowling Green, and they were just flat-out abysmal. I think this Bowling Green team clearly is a lot better than that Bowling Green team, but still, this Bowling Green team has 70% of its starters being either true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. What that means is, obviously very young, but 70% of the roster for Bowling Green had never played in front of a crowd before last night. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild to think about? And still, Bowling Green was able to accomplish some things. But all in all, I mean, Tennessee handled them like we knew Tennessee would, because clearly Tennessee is a much, 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 much superior football team. But a win is a win. And one of the listeners here for Locked On Vols, I forgot who it is, so I apologize, but he likes to call me Uncle Rico because I always talk about back when I played. It's funny because, again, I don't consider myself super young anymore, but in the grand scheme of things, I know I'm young. I'm 28 years old. I'm, what, six years removed from college football? But I like to give examples about when I played because I feel like it wasn't that far. It wasn't that long ago. So to my listener that calls me Uncle Rico, I love when you do that. That's hilarious. But back when I played, the late, great Ken Sparks, may he rest in peace. I remember one time we were down in Rome, Georgia, and I mean, playing a team that just sucks. You know, we're a top 15 team in the country or whatever. We're playing a team that just sucks. And we won the game by two or three touchdowns, but we played awful, right? And we were all kind of in the locker room afterwards and kind of feeling sorry for ourselves and all that. And he walked in and said, hey, it don't matter who you're playing. A win's a win. You celebrate that. And that's kind of what Josh Heupel said after the game. Now, he wasn't as down on the performance after the game as maybe a lot of media members and certainly a lot of the fans. But, again, he hadn't gone back and watched film yet, and he will. I have not done the rewatch yet, clearly, and I will. So I'll have more notes on that on Monday's podcast. But I get all that, guys. I understand. It was very lackluster. It was extremely melancholy, if you want to put it bluntly here. It kind of was what it was. But we're going to break it all down today and talk about the positives, some of the negatives, and what Tennessee must improve on before taking on Pittsburgh next Saturday. So without further ado, let's get into the scoring plays here from a 38-6 victory over Bowling Green. This audio is courtesy of the Vol Radio Network, heard in Knoxville on WIVK and the Sports Animal. So Tennessee started off the game strong, opening possession, you know, forced a punt from Bowling Green, who Tennessee actually won the toss defer, which surprised me. I thought Tennessee would take the ball and go to the hills with it. But Tennessee made a defensive stop, got the punt, and marched down the field 12 plays, 66 yards, took 2:59 off the clock, and found pay dirt. It's Tennessee's new quarterback, Joe Milton. They kept it on the QB keep. Here is Bob Kessling.
Milton's going to keep it around the right side, gets close, and he's in for a Tennessee touchdown. Joe Milton faked it to Small, and it rolled out right. Stretched out that 6'5" frame and got it over the goal line for Tennessee's first touchdown of the 2021 season.
A couple of stops later, Tennessee again got the ball in the first quarter, marched it down the field 67 yards on 8 plays, took 2 minutes and a second off the clock when Tennessee's running back Jabari Small found the end zone for his first career touchdown. Here's Bob Kessling.
Milton back into the shotgun, gets the snap, gives it to Small, and he powers into the checkerboards over left guard this time. And Jabari Small scores for Tennessee its second touchdown of the night. And the Volunteers now lead Bowling Green 13-0. Another very well-executed drive by Joe Milton and this Tennessee offense.
Well, the second quarter began to ensue, and following those two touchdown drives from Tennessee on its first two possessions, Tennessee went punt, punt, turnover on downs, end of half. So on into the third quarter, and between that also, Bowling Green was able to get 6 points. It's only 6 points of the game. Came off the foot of Nate Needman, a 50-yarder, and what was it, a 42-yarder. So it was 14-6 there at halftime, right? Not great, right? Well, you go into the third quarter, and Tennessee, like it did in the first quarter, off to a good start. First possession of the second half, Tennessee marches down the field 72 yards on 8 plays, takes only a minute and 58 seconds off the clock, okay? And Joe Milton again keeps it, finds pay dirt. Bob Kessling, take it away.
Hand off. No, Milton's going to keep it going around the left side. Breaks a tackle. He's going to run into the checkerboards. Milton around left end for a Tennessee touchdown. His second rushing score of the night.
Tennessee's next possession, it would punt before finding the end zone yet again. 5 plays, 54 yards at the, what was it, midway through the third quarter when Tyon Evans started to take over the game. This touchdown from 19 yards out from Tennessee's transfer running back, Tyon Evans.
First down at the 19-yard line.
Evans
up the middle. Breaks a tackle. Gets to the 5. To the checkerboards.
Whoa.
Touchdown. Tyon Evans right up the middle. He made a couple of nice moves. Made the safety miss and races into the end zone.
Midway through the fourth quarter, Tennessee would add 3 more. Chase McGrath, the transfer kicker, a 43-yard field goal, capping off a 14-play drive of 41 yards that took 3:28 off the clock. And then finally, the last point scored in the ball game and the first touchdown pass of Joe Milton's Tennessee career. It was Joe Milton finding Cedric Tillman from 40 yards out. Cedric Tillman really made a great play on the ball, really kind of bailed out Joe Milton, if we're being honest with it, to make the score 38-6. Here is how that sounded on the Vol Radio Network.
Milton, back to throw. Looks, can't find anybody up, and now he's going to fire it for the end zone. That pass is going to be a jumping attempt, and touchdown, Tennessee. That was Cedric Tillman on the 40-yard catch. Joe Milton gunned that pass to the end zone.
So those are the scoring plays. We will read off some stats. I'll tell you what I liked. I'll tell you what I didn't like. We'll hear from Josh Heupel. All that and more coming up later on in segments 2 and 3 right here on Locked On Vols. Before we get to that, guys, let's pay the bills. Built Bar, coconut, cherry, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Do you know what your favorite flavor is of Built Bar? If you don't, I encourage you to order the mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the original 9 flavors at your disposal. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Majority of these bars have up to 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Okay, if you order today, you can get the limited time grasshopper cookie or the raspberry or one of the 9 original flavors that I just mentioned. Whatever you like. Built Bar, it's the official protein bar sponsor of the United States track and field team. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. It looks like a candy bar, tastes like a candy bar. It's covered in 100% chocolate, but it's not. It's great for you if you're looking to lose or maintain some weight here in the summer season. So go to BuiltBar.com today and check it out. That's BuiltBar.com. Renaissancebank.com. And another proud sponsor right here of Locked On Vols, that is Renaissance Bank. The only thing more exciting than a Tennessee victory, a Built Bar, maybe is owning your own home, right? Well, the experts at Renaissance Mortgage are here for you. We got a wide variety of mortgage options to meet your home financial needs, whether you are a first-time home buyer or looking to finance your forever home. Heath is going to guide you through that process to find the right options for you. Heath has been in the mortgage industry for over 26 years. He successfully helped 10,000 families with their home financing. Renaissance Mortgage is large enough to offer a wide variety of products and small enough to provide custom, hands-on services to their clients like a community bank. Call Keith Albritton today at 615-347-0578. That number again, 615-347-0578, or visit him online at therenaissancebank.com. That's Heath Albritton, NMLS number 1964-53, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All loans are subject to underwriting and credit approval. Bank, NMLS number 402-669. Segment two of a Locked On Vols Friday edition, a post-game reaction. Okay, just hours removed from Tennessee's 38-6 win over Bowling Green. We are reacting in real time here, and we're on Locked On Vols. Guys, I'm Eric Kane, your host. Thank you so much for reaching out to me on Thursday night during the game. Tell me the stuff you liked, you didn't like. I'll get to more of those next week whenever we get back here for a new week of Locked On Vols. But I want to go through some things I liked, some things I didn't like. First, let's take a look at the old stat sheet, shall we? Well, my game book here says Tennessee had 30 first downs. That's getting her done, 21 of which came via the running attack. Tennessee racked up 326 yards on the ground compared to 32 for Bowling Green. The Volunteers averaged 5.1 yards per rush. That's getting it done. Passing-wise, Tennessee is a team, 12 of 24 at 50% for 145 yards overall. Tennessee racked up 471 total yards of total offense, averaging over 5 yards per play at 5.4. Tennessee did fumble it twice, so that's not good. Turned the football over twice, fumbled it once. Pierce at the end of the game, and Joe Milton when he got sacked. Tennessee was not able to come up with either one of those fumbles. Time of possession battle, Bowling Green won that 33 minutes and 53 seconds to Tennessee's 26 minutes and 7 seconds. Now, that's going to be the most misleading stat for Tennessee football moving on, as long as Josh Heupel's the head coach, is the time of possession battle, because Tennessee is going to lose that pretty much routinely, right? Just because of the tempo of the offense. What's glaring and what's not good is in the second quarter, Tennessee possessed the football only 2 minutes and 38 seconds. Not good at all compared to the 12 minutes and 22 seconds Bowling Green possessed the football, went on those long drives, and got those 6 points. Tennessee was 7 of 15 on third down conversions, pretty good. 1 of 3 fourth down, 5 of 5 in red zone scoring chances. That's good, okay? Something that's a calling card of Josh Heupel is when you get into the red zone, you get points. Mainly, you get touchdowns. Tennessee, again, 5 of 5 in the red zone, scoring 4 touchdowns, kicking 1 field goal. So that's a good job, job well done. Tennessee did give up 2 sacks for a loss of 13 yards. You look at the individual stats, Jabari Small and Tyon Evans, story of the game in my opinion. The 1A, 1B type backs. Jabari Small, 22 carries, 116 yards gained, 1 touchdown, averaged 5.3 yards per rush. That is fantastic. Tyon Evans outdid him, though. 16 carries, 120 yards gain. He netted 116, scored a touchdown, 7.3 yards per rush. That is fantastic. I understand what Bowling Green is. I get it. Tennessee will never face an easier defense again this year. Maybe South Alabama and Tennessee Tech, but I understand what Bowling Green is. But Tyon Evans and Jabari Small were something Tennessee, what we thought we were going to get out of them in terms of reliable backs, but I even think they outdid my expectations for game number one here. Joe Milton as well on the ground. He ran it for, 14 times, 44 yards. He gained 61 yards, but of course you got to take in those sacks to consideration. He scored twice, and he averaged 3 yards per rush. Receiving, Jalen Hyatt, 4 receptions, 62 yards on 9 targets. Cedric Tillman, 2 receptions, 48 yards on 7 targets. Cedric Tillman scored a touchdown. Jalen Hyatt had 2 costly drops, which was not good, okay? Outside of those two guys, I mean, you had Hyatt being targeted 9 times, Tillman being targeted 7 times. You know, they were targeted the most. Javonta Payton was targeted 3 times, had 2 receptions for 15 yards. You had Princeton Fant, who was targeted twice, hauled in 1 for 6 yards. You had Velus Jones Jr., who didn't record a reception at all. He was targeted three times. Want to spread the wealth a little bit more, right? But that is look at the receiving for Tennessee. And then let's get to the quarterback play. Hendon Hooker came in at the very end for mop-up duty. He completed the only pass he threw for 5 yards. But Joe Milton's night, 11 of 23, 140 yards, and one touchdown. I want to read you off the box score of Joe Milton following quarter number one. Okay, after quarter number one, Joe Milton was 10 of 12 for 96 yards. His end of the game line, 11 of 23 for 140. So from the end of the first quarter to the end of the game, Joe Milton completed one more pass. He was 1 of 9 from there on out, a strong first quarter. But then Joe Milton was 1 of 9 from there on out for 44 more yards. Keep in mind, too, that one completion, it was a 40-yard touchdown, right? 40-yard touchdown to Cedric Tillman. So you can see that Joe Milton started out hot, and then he cooled very, very much so, all right? And we'll go ahead and get into the quarterbacks now. I want to encourage you guys to not overreact. I get it. Jared Garantano, nightmares, right? Nightmares. A lot of the things that Jared Garantano did, I saw in Joe Milton on Thursday night. I really did. Just sitting there like a statue. Really, just sitting there like a statue. No happy feet in that pocket at all, right? Staring down receivers. One of the biggest takeaways I saw from Joe Milton on Thursday night was he doesn't scan the field. He was sitting there looking at his two options on the left side, and then he'd have a wide-open guy screaming down the right sideline. He wouldn't even see him. He missed a couple of touchdown throws simply because he wasn't scanning the fields. Now, I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a quarterback coach. Is he being taught to scan half the field? I don't know. Is he being taught to look at his first and second option and nobody else? I don't know, okay? But what I do know is he missed some simply because he wouldn't scan the field. Remember that Cedric Tillman touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter? Well, number one, that was a bad throw. Cedric Tillman bailed him out. Number two, he missed Jalin Hyatt screeching across the middle of the field for a wide-open touchdown. On top of that, he missed Tyon Evans, who went out to the flat. Nobody was in the area code of Tyon Evans. Might have been Jabari Small. I think it was Evans. And then from that, he climbed. He went from the flat. He climbed 10 to 15 yards. No one's around him. So you scored a touchdown on the play, which was great, but you had two other wide-open guys that could have walked into the end zone. I don't know what Bowling Green was doing. I have no clue. Joe Milton started out hot, super inaccurate from there on out. Doesn't scan the field. Put the ball in harm's way a little bit. I get it. But I'm going to tell you right now, he's Tennessee's quarterback. There's no quarterback controversy whatsoever. We'll hear from Josh Heupel in segment number three when that was asked about it. But, you know, unless Joe Milton goes out there and turns the football over, which he did one time on Friday night, on Thursday night when he was blindsided via the sack and he let go of the football, which it's not great, but he didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't fumble. He wasn't careless with the football outside of that one turnover. So unless Joe Milton starts turning the football over, yeah, he's going to be the quarterback, right? I do believe Hendon Hooker is the backup quarterback, not just because he came in first, but I just, you know, I reasons people have told me I believe Hendon Hooker is the backup quarterback, clear cut, nobody's business. So there was no need to make a quarterback change in this game. You were winning comfortably, okay? He wasn't putting the ball in harm's way. But let's see a little bit more of a bigger sample size, right? You can see, obviously, that by and large, he's got the best intangibles, he's got the best mechanics, he's got the best arm, he's the best athlete. You know why they want him to be the quarterback, right? Just kind of a work in progress. See how much he continues to work with Joey Halsey and Josh Heupel if he continues to get better. I'm not going to judge him on one game. There were some things I liked that he did. I liked the way he ran the football. I liked the way he protected the football on Thursday night. There's a lot of things I didn't like that he did Thursday night, but it's one game. So I'm challenging myself not to make a rash judgment on a player on one game. I'm going to move on. I'm going to put a collection of games in there before I make my judgment on what type of quarterback he is. I would encourage you guys to do the same. Of course, you don't have to, but that's what I'm going to do. So we'll have to see. But there were times where you're just like, dude, come on, overthrowing. Again, the two overthrows to Cedric Tillman. And Cedric, and I tweeted this. I put it on the board in general quarters, and people were like, well, he's wide open. I understand. My point is, listen here. Why was Tennessee challenging down the field taking two deep shots down the field with Cedric Tillman. He's the slowest receiver on the team. He was wide open, to his credit, and good for Cedric Tillman. It was Joe Milton's fault. He overthrew him like an SOB, like twice. Like, bad. It was bad. But I don't know why you're challenging with Cedric Tillman. It makes no sense to me. Let's move on here, okay? We're running out of time here in segment number two. That was Joe Milton. Running backs, Small and Evans, I touched on those. They're just fantastic. Everything the coaching staff said during camp is what happened on Thursday night. I understand inferior opponents, but it is what it is. Thought the defense was incredible in terms of, you know, just doing what you can. Did not allow a touchdown, allowed two field goals. Thought Theo Jackson was awesome. And I understand what this Bowling Green offense was. It was not a very good team. Combined four starts on the offensive line. A walk-on true freshman at center started. I get all that. But I did think that Matt McDonald looked much improved. He finished the day 187 yards, 25 of 38. That's much better than 44%. He didn't find the end zone. I thought Tennessee did a great job holding in Tyrion Stewart, who was phenomenal for Bowling Green in the limited offense last year that you saw. Held him to 13 yards total. Thought the defense was really good, and you changed the line of scrimmage. We'll talk more about this in segment number three. So, thought the defense, a good start. Obviously, the competition is going to get much, much, much steeper from here. And then the offensive line shuffle. Cooper Mays goes down. Jerome Carvin slides into center. And then instead of bringing Dane Davis in to play tackle to move Cade Mays down, Tennessee brings in Ollie Lane, Corrington's own. Good for him. Good for him. If you would ask me the biggest surprise about Thursday night, it's that Ollie Lane played significant snaps, and they didn't reshuffle the offensive line with Cade Mays whenever someone went down. Cooper Mays, ankle injury. Josh Heupel said post-game he expects to have him back, so we'll have to see. Jimmy Callaway didn't play. Josh Heupel says he expects to have him back. Byron Young we'll get into here in just a moment. I'm running through all this because we just don't have enough time, but those are some of my thoughts. Those are the stats. Tennessee, obviously, pads the stats. Nothing was remarkable. Tennessee did not send a message, but Tennessee did exactly what it was supposed to do, win handedly, win comfortably, and have something to build on moving forward. So that is segment number two. We'll hear from Josh Heupel. We'll have more conversation coming up in segment number three. But first, Bet Online. Georgia, Clemson. That's coming up tomorrow. All right. North Carolina, Virginia Tech. That's coming up tonight. Wisconsin, Penn State. That's coming up tomorrow. There's some good football games happening this weekend. College football's back, baby. I love it. And betonline.ag is your number one spot for all of that action. You can get the updated odds, props, and contests. Also with the NFL, it's got the online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. That's open now at BetOnline. So if you go to BetOnline right now, sign up today on your mobile device or your browser, and you'll get a 100% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON. Incredible. Also, on top of that, the opening day super promo where you make a bet on Thursday, September 9th, the season opener between the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code NFL100. Promo code NFL100 for the super promo. Promo code locked on for the 100% welcome bonus. So much to do all at betonline.ag. It's your fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of the great offers today available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook experts. A final segment here on a Friday post-game podcast. Locked On Vols, I'm your host, Eric Kane. Tennessee, a 38-6 winner over Bowling Green. Was it the best showing? No. Was it the cleanest showing? No. Was it a dominating effort? Still, yes. Tennessee still dominated Bowling Green, but I think we all thought it was going to be much, much worse. But nonetheless, the Josh Heupel era gets kicked off with a victory, and there is a whole lot to build on moving forward, and you'll need to hurry with Pittsburgh coming to town for the Johnny Majors Classic next Saturday. So let's go ahead and hear from Josh Heupel postgame. Here are his opening remarks following his team's 38-6 victory on Thursday night.
Excited about the win. We have a ton of ways that we can and are going to need to improve out of this football game. I thought defensively they played with passion, played with effort, played with energy, tackled relatively well in space. Did a really good job for most of the night. Offensively, there are times where we were clicking, handling things, played efficiently. At other times, simple things that we can control where we didn't operate as efficiently as we can. Going to need to clean those things up as we continue to move deeper into the season.
On some of those things you need to clean up, you need to tighten up. Here's Josh Heupel on the passing game. Two different clips. I'm going to mesh them together. On the passing game with Joe Milton, the receivers, and everybody involved.
I thought the pass game was really hit and miss from us tonight. Some of that was quarterback decision-making, then being accurate with the football. Some of it's wide receivers being on the same page. A couple opportunities to catch it that we don't. We're going to have to be a whole lot more efficient in the pass game than we were tonight. We as a passing unit, if you want to describe it that way, quarterback and wide receivers didn't perform the way that we're capable of and the way that we're going to need to moving forward. There were some positives early. We can be a whole lot better as the night went on, and we're going to be.
Well, why? Why did Joe Milton start out hot? Why did he cool off a little bit? What was Bowling Green doing to maybe make it harder for Joe Milton and maybe the rest of the offensive players? Here's Josh Heupel on that.
Some of it's what they were doing and where you felt like you had an opportunity, some drop eight coverages. There were a couple times that I didn't like his decision making. There's some things that were open, a couple guys running open down the middle of the football field that he doesn't recognize and see. There's some things that he's got to clean up. Offensively, we're going to have to clean up a bunch of things too. At the same time, there were some positives coming out of it as well.
And then finally on the Joe Milton front, was there ever a consideration of benching him and putting in Hendon Hooker or Harrison Bailey? Or is there a quarterback controversy in town? And Josh Heupel diminished that rather quickly.
No. Yeah, there wasn't anything that was earth-shattering that felt like you had to make a change. Like, we believe in Joe. Believe in the other two guys, too, and really do. Strength of the position can never be one guy. They're all going to have to continue to compete and get better. But Joel's going to need to continue to get better too.
Let's move on to the defensive side of the football. Again, the defensive line did a really nice job on Thursday night. Again, I know Bowling Green is Bowling Green, but still, Tennessee, 11 tackles for loss, only had two sacks. You'd like to see that get a little bit better. But Tyler Barron got a sack, as did Deshaun Terry. 11 TFLs, you got to like that. Had six pass breakups. That's good. Only three QB hurries. You got to see that a little bit more. But Theo Jackson led the charge, did a great job. 11 tackles from that star position. And as much as I harp on Jeremy Banks, and I had somebody get after me on Twitter yesterday about it, all in good fun. I'm hard on Jeremy Banks. I am. I have no clue. He's nice. I've talked to him a few times. Nice guy. I'm hard on him. There's some things I saw him do on Thursday night that I'm like, okay, good for you. Running the alleyway, seeing and attacking, sure tackling. It was a short sample size. I'll have to go back and watch the rewatch and the tape and study some more. But first glance, I thought Jeremy Banks played pretty well on Thursday night. But Josh Heupel was asked about the defensive line, changing the line of scrimmage and really the course of the defense overall. Here's Josh Heupel.
Yeah, I thought we played vertically, disrupted and distorted and changed the line of scrimmage really pretty consistently throughout the night. Second quarter, you saw them have a couple of drives, extended some things, hit some plays, a couple boot plays, some three-level passes that we got to clean up. But for most of the night, I thought first, second, and third level operated pretty clean, efficiently, had things up the right way, communicated really well, and as much as anything, played with great effort and strain.
And then finally, I think you guys realized there was a certain guy that wasn't out there playing on Thursday night. Awesome Prize, FallQuest.com. My cohort over there jumped on the story about 2 hours before kickoff. The news broke that Byron Young was not going to be able to play. An eligibility issue right now. We've been sitting on this story all week, to be completely honest with you. Wait, because Tennessee's been appealing it, and the situation is, you can read the story. I'll try to link it in the show notes if I remember to, but Byron Young, you know, he's got the magnificent, weird story about how he went from high school, quit football, then went to junior college, and then now he's here. Well, he went to a prep school just after high school, played two games, the season folded, and then I guess years after that, he went to his junior college, and then now he's at Tennessee, but it's that first stop after high school, that prep school where he played two games. That's the issue with the holdup here with the NCAA and why Byron Young is ineligible right now. Now, he will not be ineligible for the rest of the season. He will be back, but the question is he going to be back next week or is it going to be the week after? We don't know yet, but briefly, didn't have a whole lot to say on it, but Here is Josh Heupel on Byron Young.
Do expect him back. We're working through NCAA eligibility process with the previous school that he attended after high school. And so we're working through that process currently.
And no doubt that's going to be a big one. We're going to have to track that as we go throughout the week to see where the process is. He played two games and then the season folded. So will he have to sit out two games here and then start playing? Well, you've already set out one game. Can you peel it down to one game so we can play next week? I don't know, but we will track it. Tennessee needs Byron Young in a big way. I thought Roman Harrison played pretty well. Bryson Eason had two TFLs as well. But Tennessee needs Byron Young in the worst way, especially when you get into SEC play. So, nonetheless, that was Josh Heupel on the defense and the defensive performances. So, what do you guys think? Are you panicking? Are you being super critical of the quarterback? It's all fine. It's whatever you want to do. There's a lot to not like about what you saw Thursday night, but also there is a lot to like the way Tennessee ran the football efficiently, the way the offensive line, handled a critical injury to Cooper Mays. Cooper Mays went out and then Tennessee struggled for a couple series and then, kind of started finding their groove. The fact that, I've been harping on it all summer long, depth, offensive line, you're one injury away from being in a world of hurt. Well, Ollie Lane stepped in. Ollie Lane is a guy that if you would have asked me on Wednesday or Thursday before the game, hey, will Ollie Lane ever play significant snaps in Tennessee's career? And no disrespect, he's a Corrington guy. I lived in Corrington for a year, okay? I felt like I'm part of the people in the community. But no disrespect, I say no, absolutely not. Meaningful snaps, no. But Ollie Lane went in there and played pretty much the entire second quarter on, right? Now, will that change? Would he have had the same amount of success against Florida that he did against Bowling Green? I don't know. I'm going to have to go watch the film. But maybe you're finding some depth on the offensive line, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The way the running backs ran is a good thing. The way Tennessee protected the football, for the most part, was a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing. It's why did Joe Milton start so hot and so cold? Why is Joe Milton not scanning the entire field? Okay? Why defensively did you not create any turnovers? Why did you not get more than two sacks? There's some things that we need to work on here. Why was there three punt returners used the first three punt returns? Why on earth was Tim Banks and Brian Jean-Marie rotating in Solon Page and Aaron Beasley with Juwan Mitchell and Jeremy Banks so much? Every other series, it was the one group of linebackers then the backup group of linebackers. Why? I mean, no disrespect, but why? I mean, come on. Like, what are you doing? Juwan Mitchell's not, he doesn't show up anywhere on the stat sheet other than the participation sheet. You know, that's got to change, right? So there are some things to clean up. Always are. It's never, and I said it wasn't going to be perfect. Even though you went against an inferior opponent, it was never going to be perfect, but still, look at that scoreboard. It reads 38-6 Tennessee. And so you take what you take in week one. They say the biggest improvement is from week one to week two. We will see. Tennessee needs to improve in a hurry because Pittsburgh will be a challenge. Tennessee took on Bowling Green. Bowling Green was just a dreadful offense, historically awful offense, historically awful team. Pittsburgh is taking on UMass this weekend. UMass in 2020 was historically awful as well. So how much are we going to learn from Pittsburgh? I don't know. How much is Pittsburgh going to learn from Tennessee? I don't know. We'll have to see, but I'll give you my thoughts on Pittsburgh as well on Monday, and we'll continue to break this down. And Josh Heupel will speak on Monday. We'll hear from players on Monday. Hopefully these running backs. All that and more coming up on Monday. So we're just getting started, guys. We are just getting started. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, taking my podcast seriously. I can't thank you enough. The ratings have been incredible. The listenings, the new unique downloads, all that stuff. The social media engagement has been phenomenal. I'm on Facebook as well. Just search it, Kaner on Air. Guys, thank you so much. It means the world. If you have any questions, you guys know my DMs are open. We'll do Twitter Tuesday on Tuesday, but I'll try to get back to all you guys over the weekend. Obviously, it's been quite the long night as I record this in real time, and it is 3:33 in the morning. Radio show coming up at 6 a.m. So, anyway, guys, thank you so much. We will do it again on Monday. And before we hit the other side here, let me remind you about Locked On Bets. Doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. All you have to do is listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get the daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag or wherever you get your podcasts. A whole lot to unravel. We're just getting started. We'll be back on Monday here for a Locked On Vols. But Tennessee 1-0, 38-6 victory over Bowling Green. We'll do it again next week, guys. Stay safe and enjoy the rest of your Friday, everybody.